Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. I want to start our discussion today from there. Today I'm going into a new set of, a subsection of our faith basic series, like I mentioned earlier. I'm going to begin to talk about the faith rest life. What did I say? The faith rest life. Faith, that is our faith in God, producing rest for us. All right, the first scripture I'd like to read. Okay, open to that book of Hebrews chapter 3. But before we read it, quickly open to the book of Philippians chapter 4. All right, let me start from verse 4. Where I want to read is verse 6, actually, but I just like to, as usual, read in context, read some extra. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Please notice that verse 6 carefully. It said, "Be anxious for nothing. Let your requests be made known unto God," instead of being anxious, having anxiety. The result, he said in verse 7, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, that peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me emphasize that again. He said, if you are anxious about nothing, but rather you are praying about the things, directing your request to God, he said in verse 7, the peace of God, which cannot be understood, the peace of God, which people will not know how you came about it, which even you may have a problem understanding how it's about, that it came about. He said, that peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Now, please, I want you to understand something. He did not say that your mind will be at peace. That is beyond that. Your mind most certainly will be at peace. But that the peace of God will guard. Let me tell you something. Life can run you mental. What did I say? Life can run a man mental. The events of life, in fact, David said like this, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than what I can attain myself, higher than where I can climb. Literally say, the rock that is higher than I. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. A man's heart can be overwhelmed so much that he goes mentally out of order. Now, that is a matter of fact. That it can so happen that people will be troubled in life, that they will become mentally deranged. And I've had experiences before. I don't want to give you details about it now, but many years ago, something happened. I remember I told myself, I said, oh, so this is how people go crazy. That is, I suddenly had this understanding that this is how people go mental. The other day, they said a man took a gun. This was somewhere in Britain. And they had to shoot everybody around. It's very common abroad. It's not as common in Nigeria here. But abroad, they do that a lot. A man just takes a gun, goes to a school, and starts shooting everybody. One young boy did that, I think, Virginia Tech some years ago. And just took a gun, entered the class he used to attend, and started going from chair to chair, shooting the people there. Why? Because his mind was troubled. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, the other day, they were talking about notorious women, criminals. And the notorious woman number two was one woman who just trapped two of her children. This one, I remember I watched it when it was happening then. This woman reported that somebody carjacked her and then took her car and her children and disappeared. The truth was that she strapped her two children, a three-year-old and a one-year-old boy, two boys. One is three, the other one. Strapped them to their car seats and rolled the car into the water. That is, you know, you can look at people and say, how can you be so cruel? And that's true. That's real cruelty. That's cruelty. But the fact is that people's minds can be so thoroughly harassed, they lose control of what is going on. Are you getting my point? Listen, and I want to explain something here. One of the aims of the devil is to disturb your mind. That is, he wants your mind to become upside down. That's one of his aims. I've said it to us several times before, that don't look at the things happening in life as the main matter. That is, if you lose money, for example, you do business. You saved, you were working somewhere. After 3 years of saving and trading, you finally gathered 3 million naira to do your own business. Then you now started. 6 months later, your partner stole your money and closed the business and disappeared. Listen to me, it's not about money. What did I say? It's not about money. It's about your mind. More importantly, it's about your faith. Oh, you are a young man, you are investing in a woman. I like to always say that because there are so many single people here. It happens to them every day. After all, you know what I mean by investing? Yes, after some months of serious investment, suddenly she decides that Holy Spirit woke up this morning and called me. After the Holy Spirit and I spoke, he said I shouldn't marry again. It can be troublesome. It's not about marriage. It's not about the woman. It's about your mind. I hope you're getting my point. It's about your faith. Can happen to anybody. Can happen to a man. Can happen to a woman. Usually the thing that worries men the most, it's not even woman matter. It's man matter that worries women seriously. What worries men most is money matter. Yes. You've done nothing wrong in your office. All you have done is right. You have worked hard so that they will promote you. When the worldwide economic crunch started, your company decided to, you know, downsize. I like the American word. You know what I mean? It's not your problem, really. We are downsizing and you are too big for us. You understand what I'm saying? Then they let you go. Those are the kind of things that really run men mental. Especially when you have a family. Let me say it to you again. It's not about the job. It's not about money. It's about your mind and your faith. Please get what I'm saying very clearly. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very important. And that's why Paul was emphasizing here. If you notice something, you know, the way we speak, and that's what I want to talk about today, all right? The way we speak most of the times as preachers of the gospel is we emphasize so much about God granting the request that we make of Him. And that's true. He answers prayers. And my experience, all right, I've said to you before, my experience is that there's nothing I ask God for. If I don't change my mind, that He does not give to me eventually. There's nothing. Listen, I'm not joking about that. If you can make up your mind, really, you know, I've said it before, about not doubting, all right? If you make up your mind, ask God for something, and you, as a believer, you ask Him without doubting, He will give it to you. And when I say not doubting, it's not just I'm so strong in my faith, I'm not. No, I mean that your mind can be made up. And I said that the only way your mind can be settled on something is if it is settled according to the word of God. But that's the reason that does not change. All right? Now, I just said that to emphasize the fact that God answers prayers and I have no doubt. But, if you see here, Paul did not emphasize the fact that God answers prayers. He emphasized the fact that you will have peace of mind. And that will come to you because the peace of God. Now, let me tell you about the peace of God. The peace of God is not just absence of troubles. The peace of God is a spiritual force, all right, that God gives to people to settle them in the midst of their troubles. Did you hear what I said? Listen, I said the peace of God is not absence of troubles. It's a spiritual force. Jesus said something once when He was sending disciples out. He said, you go out, go and preach. When you get there, stay in any house, look for the house of a worthy person. Choose one house and stay there. And when you get to that house, you know what you say to them? Peace be unto you. I now made a statement. If there's a man of peace there, your peace will rest there. But if they don't welcome you, he said, what will happen? Your peace will return. That is a tangible substance which you can give and you can what? Take. When he was leaving, he said, my peace I give unto you. I was using it while I was with you. Now I'm going away, I don't need it anymore. So I'm packaging it and handing it to you. So you take. This is the peace of God. It's not just absence of troubles. It's a spiritual force that God uses to solidify and settle the heart of a man or a woman in the midst of his or her troubles. That's why it can mount guard. Are you getting my point? That's why it can come and stay around your mind so much that people will think you should be worried and disturbed. You that's having troubles, people are not sleeping here. Then you get to your house, they will have to arouse you. Say, what are you doing? You are sleeping. I believe, this is my conviction, this is a manifestation of the peace of God. When Peter was in jail, and the angel came to deliver him, where did they find Peter? Asleep. The angel had to smote him, like King James says, before the man arose, and they were supposed to kill him the next day. They had killed James. It was Peter's turn. And Peter was asleep. Listen. It is not as if the man wanted to sleep. You hear what I said? It is not as if the man wanted to sleep. It was as sleep slept him. You understand what I mean? Sleep overtook him. He wasn't trying to sleep. It was as sleep overtook him. Peter, James, John, Matthew, Andrew, Philip, all the disciples of Jesus, the apostles and the other disciples were with Jesus on the boat. And the boat was being tossed up and down. So much that the other people thought they were going to die. And look, it was not a modern boat. It was a boat of thousands of years ago that could be tossed up and down. And Jesus, the Bible said, was asleep. Do you hear what I said? He was asleep. He was sleeping. Somebody had to go and wake him up that, are you not mindful of the fact that we're about to die? It wasn't like he didn't care. He did not notice. He was asleep. Now, why will a man be able to sleep in the midst of such troubles? It is because the peace of God that's beyond understanding is guarding his mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've heard trouble in stories before. Men that had troubles. In fact, there was one story I heard. This was in Akure. One in Akure, one in Newe. You told me the second one in Newe. This, I heard two different experiences. A man was woken up, the one in Akure was woken up by his wife. And what happened? I think he said there were thieves in their house, that they had broken into their home or somewhere close by. So the man woke his wife, and the wife woke the man, said, look at what is going on. And the man woke up and said, what? Thieves? Don't worry, it's not what they are looking for. And he closed his eyes and went back to sleep. Like nothing happened. The same one you said you happened to that man you were telling me about that nail. Same thing. This is trouble. People are shooting guava and say, it's not us they are looking for. And they went back to sleep. Let me tell you, don't look like, God, how did he have such amount of faith? I have enough experience in life to know you don't have that kind of faith. Nobody does. It is a peace of God that passes understanding, that guards your mind at such times. Not as if you want to be careless and irresponsible. You just discover that you slept when they say, there's trouble. You say, I'm coming. Then you fall asleep again. What am I preaching today? I wanted to introduce from that end. Don't forget that peace of God. It's a tangible substance. It can be imparted into somebody's life. That's why Jesus said, when you get there, say to them, peace be unto you. If they don't accept it, you return. It's like your property. You can give it, you can take it. And before Paul talked about God answering your prayers, the first thing he said that God gives you when you have troubles, when you have issues in life, is that peace that passes all understanding. You know what it means? Sometimes when the thing has vanished, when the incident is over, you now ask yourself, what was I thinking? One of the mistakes we make in Christianity, I keep on saying it, we labor in the wrong places. We want to say, how do I get that kind of boldness? You don't need it. What you need, all right, is to have the peace of God with you. And you know, Jesus said something to the disciples. Say, all of you are going to have wahala, troubles. They will bring you before panels, judges. They will sentence you to death, all kinds of things. He said, now when they are bringing you to trial, listen to this, don't think ahead concerning what you will say. He said, you know what? Behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. But the warning was that don't think about what you will say before that time. What most of us do is that we hear the way one brother, Philip or Andrew, whatever, defended himself. Brethren, today's Bible study is analysis of the defense of Andrew. If you notice, when he began to speak, he first sighed. Everybody sighed. Then we want to memorize it. The time of trouble, everything will vanish from your head. Instead of sighing, all you hear is, yay, mope. That's what I mean by we labor in the wrong places. What we don't do, what we don't need is how to recite the defense of Andrew or Philip. No, we don't need that. The real thing that we need is to have the peace of God with us at all times. And under different circumstances, it will manifest with different manifestations. Do you understand the point? All right. Now, so that's an introduction. Let me now go to the. Now I said we should open one scripture, Hebrews chapter what? chapter 3. Why do I want to read this? Before we read it, or let me read it, and I will explain why I'm reading it. But because it is long, I'm going to, as I often do, jump and paraphrase in certain places and just hurry up. All right, from verse 1, it said, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. For just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." Now there are two words I want to pick up from this verse 6. It says, if we hold fast our confidence, the first word is confidence, and then the second word is hope, all right? Our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, now because of this, because it is necessary, all right, that we hold fast our boast, all right, the boast of our hope, and hold fast our confidence. Therefore, today, if you hear, he said, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. If you have a King James, it says, in the day of provocation, or at the provocation. That was referring to a particular experience in the book of Exodus. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of us or of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Please, another word, falling away, or another phrase, all right? Falling away. Other words there to note, unbelieving heart. He said, but verse 13, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Please, another thing to note, the deceitfulness of sin. Now, let me just stop here. Yeah, the rest of it, I believe we know. Let me read verse 17. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. Now, please, they were supposed to enter into something. If I read verse 1 of chapter 4, it said, therefore, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Now, please notice that there is something called the rest of God. I don't want to read the whole of these two chapters. We have studied them here and then different times. I just want to bring out an issue here. There was something that Paul said in the book of in his letter to the Corinthians. He said that these things were recorded, talking about the Old Testament, for our learning. All right? We upon whom the end of the age has come. Now, what was he saying when he was explaining that the same people that left wilderness, these people were baptized, he said, in passing through what they call the waters and all of that. They received as a type the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he said, yet God was displeased with them. Now, what do I want to preach today? All right? I'm not here to analyze these two chapters, like I said. But I want to bring out an issue here. This is what I want to start with. Like I said, I'm talking about what? The faith rest. All right? I'm talking about faith rest. The faith rest of the Christian. That first of all in life, there's something that God has called us to. And that is peace of mind, and that is rest. Now listen to this. I've told you several times, I have read here and there. And I know one of the things that people have always sought after was peace of mind. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's what they have always sought after. Now, if you hear me refer to this several times, those who practice all kinds of religions, all right? There's a book I have now about religion, mankind's search for God, different kinds of religions, and I've been analyzed. In all the religions of the world, men have really sought after something. One of the major things they sought after, all right, was peace of mind, believe me. Now, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. Now, so you see, a Buddhist is looking for enlightenment. What he's looking for is peace with God. And in Christ Jesus, everything that men have ever wanted is revealed. That is a matter of fact. In Christ Jesus, everything that men have ever wanted is revealed. Now let me make some statements. See this piece of wood that we have here? It's a physical material, therefore it's temporal. In reality, if I say this to make you laugh, in reality it doesn't exist. The things that you see with your eyes are very temporal things. Alright? One of the movies, there are a number of movies I've seen, one of the ones that have, that because of my spiritual understanding, that have impressed me the most about life is Matrix. There are a number of movies I've seen like that that have impressed me. One of course, let me just mention the second one, The Devil's Advocate. All right? Now, one of the reasons why those two movies interest me, all right, is because in Matrix, you see, they try to make the world that people knew, all right, as they appear as if it's simply their imagination. Now, there's a lot of truth to it, actually. There's a lot of truth to it. I'm not teaching in that area today, but I'll have explained to you that, listen, this world, I say, this is my understanding that God has given me. It's just a place where we demonstrate what is really the real substance that we have in our hearts and have those things corrected. There's one song immigrant sang those days. He said, we are just here talking about this physical existence to learn to love the Lord. And that's a matter of fact. In our physical existence, God shows us what's inside our heart and he expects that we use our encounters, all right, as ways of deciphering what we have in our hearts and then purify our hearts. And that makes us ready, listen to this, to live in heaven or wherever he will place us in eternity. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Listen, it is a matter of fact that no matter the amount of money you have, you will not enjoy life more than you're enjoying it now. Listen, it sounds funny. You're sitting down, you don't have a dime. You're broke completely. Like they say, broke, busted, and disgusted. Now you think if you have plenty money, suddenly you will be happy. Then suddenly $1 million is dropped on your laps. You, as if you took cocaine, the first few days you are irie. You know what I mean? No, Jamaican irie. You know? Just there's like a cocaine running around your brain. You know, you just feeling, you know, feeling like you're in the heavens. Then after a while, you realize that you have not slept for 3 days. Initially, it was from excitement, but now it's from worries. I read this book. You should read it. If you have understanding, you learn a lot of things from it. The richest man in Babylon. The man was counseling somebody. He said, plenty of gold puts more responsibility, new responsibilities on the owner thereof. That now he has to guard it that he does not lose it. Do you get my point? Do you know? Now, let me tell you something there. I want to say something that will surprise you. You can never be persuaded about this until you experience it. Unless you so believe God that God infuses into you the spirit of understanding. No human being can be persuaded concerning what I'm saying. But I always say, you can never prove Solomon wrong. You can never prove him wrong. And he said, it is like chasing after the wind. It's emptiness. Listen, I think I told the story about the 99 Club. Somebody sent me the mail, 99 Club. 99 Club is a man that he didn't have one gold coin. He was always happy. Then they gave him 99. They said, why should they give me 99? Why is not 100? Do you get the point? They started working hard to earn the extra one, to make it a round figure, 100. And when he got that 99, peace of mind disappeared from him. Listen. The things, I taught this and I said, this is emptiness. It's not real. The truth is that there is nothing material on this earth that is real. Nothing. You know, in Nigeria, we cry, there's no light. You're suffering. You know, something that impresses me now, it makes me laugh. Sometimes I wonder. I still ask my wife again and again. When I first came to Enugu, I lived in Transeklu, just my wife and I. Then my brother, Deji, used to come once in a while. Quite a big flat we had there. But this is interesting part. I didn't have a generator, number one. Number two, I don't know how bad or good NEPA was that time, but one thing was certain, my street had very, very, very horrible power supply because the transformer had a problem. And one day out of two, something will go wrong and you have to go and beg NEPA people to come and fix it for you. A lot of times that thing that goes wrong around 10 p.m. So I'll tell my wife, is that local or national? What we mean is that once you look and the next street has light, you know it's just you. Just about three or four streets. Says that one used to be terrible because once it goes like that, it ain't coming back. Unless somebody goes to NEPA. And a lot of times it starts around 10, 11 at night. So you start driving to NEPA at that time. So I asked my wife a lot of times. Till now I ask. What I had was lanterns, though. Kerosene lantern. And if you, I never liked candles, so I thought they were risky. I didn't even have rechargeable lamps. I had one that worked a bit. But the second one was horrible. Then, this is interesting part. I keep asking my wife, how did we live there? Because as of today, I have light 24 hours. Almost. He said, NEPA. No, it's not NEPA. Once NEPA takes light, I put on the gen. And the gen, it mustn't go off unless it's a cold night and I don't need it. I don't want to tell you how much money I spent one particular month when there was no power through almost a month. That's in recent times. Throughout, that is. Yeah, and then once I enter the house, so I enter like this, I ask my cousin, no light. He said, no sir, put on the gen. That is, it's as I'm going out, he drops a jerrycan in my boot, bring for when you're coming back. So I keep on asking my wife, now that I get fidgety once the light goes off, how did I survive in Transekulu? When I didn't have light, I didn't have gen, I didn't have all. But baby, we lived in that Transekulu. You know, for this, I still keep thinking about it. But the moment I started buying generators, I became accustomed to generators. Are you getting what I'm saying? It now appears as if without the gen, I will die. I grew up all my life. My parents didn't buy a generator. The first generator my father owned, I gave it to him as a present. Now, I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. I ask myself, how did I survive? Because believe me, what you hear me preach now, I started preaching before I started preaching. You understand what I'm saying? Before that transcript, I was preaching it. I loved Nigeria. I love Nigeria. I have always loved Nigeria. I have never desired to go to a country where they never stake light. Now, listen, I'm telling you something. There's no light. Is because your life is not going anywhere. You have no focus. You have no goal. That is why you have the time to sit down morning till night complaining and hoping that somebody will relocate you to UK so you can have light. Listen to me. After the first 1 month, you will stop noticing that there's light. You will start noticing things that don't exist. Now, listen, I'm trying to get you to understand something. Look, in life, better focus on the things that are what? Real. You don't change your geographical location because the road is bad. If you get to heaven and they say, oh boy, how many well-tarred roads did you travel upon? I said, Lord, I tried. I drove from San Francisco. I don't know America very well, but... Anyway, I drove across from the east to west, north to south, on perfect, well-tarred road. Not one bump. Listen, nobody is going to ask you that any day. And what am I explaining? All those seeming travails of water is not flowing. We have to go to the stream to get water. They mean nothing. What did I say? They mean what? Nothing. Pursuing after physical comfort in life is a sign of spiritual emptiness. Solomon said, when you get it, you discover that you have reached nowhere. He says, vanity. Vanity upon vanity. You know, sometimes I look at cars as a very good example. A Kia Picanto is a very, very comfortable car. I hope you know. It's very small, very comfortable. It is not as comfortable as I'm talking brand new cars now. BMW 5 Series is not. Then a BMW 5 Series is definitely not as nice to behold and to sit in as, let's say, is 600 SC, an S600 Mercedes-Benz, all right? So now, I'm going somewhere. One day they said Rolls-Royce started making small cars. Do you hear what I said? Baby Rolls, they call it. And the Baby Rolls is bigger than the 7 Series BMW. No, you don't get what I'm saying. They say, okay, let's start making small vehicles for those who can't buy the big ones. And they will make a car that's bigger than the 7 Series BMW, which is a prayer point for the lifetime of a lot of people. This is what God has placed in the heart of man. Listen to me. This is what he has placed in our hearts. If he gives you a Kia Picanto, and you have not yet discovered rest in God, 1 week after the Picanto, you notice that I can't stretch my leg properly. 1 week after. Then you see the guy beside you say, this your Hyundai Azera, how it be now? Then you go to church. You sow a seed towards the next stage in your life. You carry your back in Picanto, that's your pastor. You don't love him, you just want a Hyundai Azera. And God said, let me teach this boy a lesson. Gabriel, yes sir, give him a Hyundai. Next day, manifestation of the seed that you sowed. The car will show up. Because, listen, remove common sense from him. Let him use his natural human sense. Don't give him peace at all. The second day, you say, this AC, you know the chill, like, the AC doesn't chill very well. And doesn't have the kind of power ever. When I went to buy that gallop, did you feel that gallop? The man will go past, zoom, BMW 750i. God, what do you think? Because they saw a seed now. Yeah, a seed sower. That is, you will go through 15 cars of higher grades, one after the other. One thing you won't have is happiness. I don't have time to analyze this thing. They always manifest. Eventually, you start falling sick every other day. You won't know it's because you are not satisfied with the car you are driving. What am I saying? One of the first things that God wants to give you in life is satisfaction and peace of mind. Peace of mind where you are. That's about the first thing he wants to give you. So Paul said, the peace of God which passes what? Understanding. I'm going somewhere. It's the reason why I read this. I want to remind us of that thing. Physical things are not real. We don't pursue after them. Why did I read this Hebrews chapter 3? I'm talking about faith rest. I want us to get, and I said that a lot of religions in the world, that's what they are trying to attain, rest. Rest. Men who have sought, they have seen, they have sought after wisdom in life, they realize that these things don't mean anything. So they were now looking for where can we get rest really? That we wake up, and listen, one of the greatest achievements in life, in fact, an acquaintance, somebody I met, he came to my office and he saw something I wrote on my wall, which is the Ways translation. You know, there are different translations of the Bible. There's one called the Ways translation and of Philippians chapter 4. Now, Paul was talking about, and this is very important, he received offerings from the people of the church of the Philippians, and he was thanking them for it, and maybe it was somebody like me. So he wanted to explain to them that, look, I don't think I'm running after your money, you understand? Yes, some things are right, all right? So he now said something there. Let's read from verse 15. Sorry. Let me start from verse 10. Said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Please notice this. He's rejoicing that they are now sending him gifts. He said, indeed you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak from want. Now, Paul is explaining a principle here that I'm not asking you to do this because I'm in lack. I'm not thinking about myself. That's what he was saying. He said, I'm not speaking from want. Why am I not speaking from want? Because I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. The way translation says something like this, I have learned to be independent of circumstances. Now, a lot of Christians trying to teach the word of faith that you can grab anything you want. He said, Paul has learned that he can call a car to be anytime. He can. No, that's not what Paul said. What Paul said is that when I have, when I don't have, is the same thing. If I have to wear the same shirt 50 times because I don't have a second one, every day wash it according to Gordon's, wash and wear. Wash it at night, wear it during the day. He said, it doesn't change me. If you give me a wardrobe that's so mighty that I start feeling like Puff Daddy, to me, it's the same thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have learned to be independent of circumstances. Look at what he said next slide. He said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I like the way translation say it there. It's a pity I didn't want to quote it. I would have brought it here. He said, the way he said it is like this. I have learned how to, like I mentioned, to be independent of circumstances. I have learned how to bear abundance, and I have learned how to bear poverty. He said, in life as a whole, I have learned how to live independent of my circumstances. What it means. And he now said the next line. He said, I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what am I bringing out here? That is a peace that God wants us to attain. I'm sorry to say this. I think we have done ourselves, both we preachers and the church as a whole, a great disservice in calling children of God all the time to gather around their lack. You understand what I'm saying? Tonight, we are going to have an all-night service. By the time you finish, if you did not have a car, you have. Whatever you did not have, you have. You know, we focus. So come for its emergency breakthrough, a service in which the things that the enemy took from you were about to recover it. Enemy stole your car, you will get seven. Listen. You know what Jesus said? That after these things the Gentiles seek. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. It is not godly for us to organize a whole prayer meeting on what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and where we thus shall be clothed. It's a sign that we are not walking with God. If you preach some of these, I see you are not building people up in the faith. No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm telling you what real faith is. Paul said this is real faith. I have learned how to be the same. I will rejoice whether I have or I don't have. And that is a more important achievement than coming to testify concerning how I got. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The one woman gave a testimony once. Somebody was telling me about it. Our testimony was, people have always said they give ₦100,000 as offering, and I've never been able to do it. I have always desired to be able to do it. Finally, God made it possible for me, now me to have given out an offering. I said, that's very good. That's better. Are you getting what I'm saying? Her mindset is different. But I want to bring another, a third mindset. The first one of which, amen, praise God, I didn't have $100, now I have. Now, it's a better one to say, hey, I have now been able to give. There is a third mindset which I think is very, very good also. We should learn to testify on such things. Brethren, you know I used to work in so and so place. Then they downsized, and for 5 months I didn't have a job. Do you know, all through, nobody knew I was not working. I was always rejoicing. What I couldn't understand, do you know, one of my uncles that seems to know everybody in this life, he came. I did not even remember to tell him. Brethren, was last week I started working again. It dawned on me that it's been 5 months that I've been out of a job. I learned to live independent of my circumstances. I thank God for that. For 5 months of utter wilderness, Christ strengthened me, and he did not show on my face. And you know, I didn't go for any miracle meeting all those 5 months. If I slept, I gave God thanks because now I could sleep properly. Listen to me, there's a blessing in every affliction. There is. So there are jobs that God took away from you. He said, look, listen, oh boy, the way you have been working, you are going to die early from heart failure. You've been working 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. continuously for 5 years. You know why I had you sacked? So you can sleep. Just to try. See that thing they call sleep. That special invention called sleep. Try it for 2 months. Let's see. Because you have been working so hard that for months, let's say you are 32. People thought you are actually 48. One day they saw you with your wife. Says, "Is that your daughter?" You know, and you said that. Why? Because two girls say, "Hey, wait." Before they start asking whether that's your granddaughter, let me do something. What will I do? Sack him. Let me tell you something. Some of these I'm describing, they don't look like good except you attend to the word of God. It's only the word of God that will infuse you with that peace of God that will make you, the first 1 week, you will sleep and sleep and sleep. Say, you're not even worried. Say, about what? You don't have a job right now. I say, oh, that one. Then you fall asleep before you can explain. If you listen to me, if the word of God is not entering you, you know what you will do? Every day you will wake up. You start calculating. In under 4 months, rent will be due. That's 450,000. He said, what's that? He said, oh, sorry. I was just thinking of the children's school fees plus the money we are owing here now. Then your wife will fall asleep. They're not in the night. She wake up and realize that you've been in the same pose since. And you look, 2 hours has passed. You can't sleep. If you're not a believer, under such circumstances, you won't sleep. You will not sleep. What am I preaching today? I'm preaching to you the fact that the first thing that God wants to give is that peace of God. It's not money. It's not a car. It's not a better job. Listen, there are people that God ordained that you do a particular job that they will be paying you 1 million naira every month. Yet you have been working a job where you've been earning 12,000 naira every month for the last 3 years. And you say, why has it not moved me? I'll tell you the reason. He said, if he moves you now, you will love 1 million naira. So he first wants to love 12,000 or love no money at all. When you have begun to rejoice in the Lord, when that 12,000 naira begin to look to you like the work of God, you understand what I'm saying? That you're not attached to it. Just love the Lord. When God looks and says that if I take this 12,000 from this guy, he will rejoice in 200 naira. Listen, let me tell you, God will prove you. Don't think he don't look at your heart, look at his heart. Okay, he's rejoicing now. No! One day he will make you want to make it, that he will bring up an offer of maybe 150,000. But it will come with a clause that the thing that your life is really about, you have to forsake it. Let me give you an example. It's very, very funny, but the practical example. Let's assume that all your life, what's inside your soul is music. Are you getting my point? All you've ever wanted is music. Or let's leave music for a moment. Let's say preaching. Yeah, preaching. That's a good one too, preaching. Finally, God will say, oh boy, opportunities. 450,000 naira a month. Where? Saudi Arabia. So let me go and pray first, whether I'm a missionary. Before you even enter the prayer, God say, come on, you're not a missionary, my friend. You're a teacher of the word in this locality. You go look your 12K, look your papa, who need the money. Look the 450K. They will come and say, boys, I like the 450K. But you know, in my church, I was just appointed last week as a Bible study leader. And that means I preach every Wednesday. I won't lose that opportunity for anybody. That's what I'm talking about. But the music, I was just an example. He said, now we are going to put in a place where you must never sing in your life. If they hear you singing, they will throw you into the pit, what they call the lion's den. But the money go good, sha. Then you reject that. Now, that's how you put your life on in the path of God's righteousness. It's when you have done that, God said, finally, I will now make him have a job of 1 million naira a month, in which half of the job is preaching or singing. And this interesting part, by that time, the money won't even interest you anymore. Hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's what God is doing. If money is still interesting you, you go, ah, God, you know he doesn't grow old. Now you the age. You will be there for a long time. Very long time. Very long time. So I said, that's the first thing I'm preaching, that God wants to give you, first of all, what? The peace of God. The next thing I want to preach, which is actually the main thing I had in mind before the Holy Spirit led me the way he did now. And I think I'm back to that thing I came up with, which is why we read Hebrews chapter 3. Why did Hebrews chapter 3 come up? First, let me tell you the thing I want to preach, and I'll now tell the story. Troubles will come. That's my message for today. What did I say? Now listen to me. Let me say it in such a manner that you will get scared. Disappointments will come. Harassments will come. Persecutions will come. Annoying parts, because of the word. That's what the Bible says. Listen, God works miracles. Did I hear an amen? Amen. But it doesn't always work them. God answers prayers. Amen? Amen. 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 But it does not always answer. Pastor Banky, yes, I will give you now. Moses begged. At the time, he said, Moses, if I see you again, while I lie, I will slap you. Okay, let me say it in a godly fashion. He said, Moses, do not bring that matter up before me again. And was it a bad thing? No. Moses just wanted to enter the promised land. And God said, no. So one day here and God were talking. He said, so what's going to happen is that you tell them to divide here like this. So Moses was not paying attention. So the Lord said, ah, Moses, wait in the help. He said, God, I beg now. About what? Let me go and mark the land myself and show to them. So that means you will enter. I said that. Oh boy, forget that side. You ain't going anywhere. Listen, let me tell you something. Christianity, we must learn how to balance things. Are you getting my point? Yes, we must learn how to balance things. It is a matter of fact that you can have requests, God will tell you square in your face, forget it, I'm not giving you. Forget it, that one you won't see it. Especially, you know, I preached this one before. When I said that if you ask according to his will, how do you know the will of God? Yes, I have found out how to know the will of God. Especially when it comes to requests. Sit down and pray until you know the real motive why you're asking for what you're asking for. If it is because they say, no, you know, I'm a preacher. If I have this kind of house, they will know that the gospel works. God say, hey, that's the motive. All right, forget to. Let them come and see that it does not work. And let them arrest me if they want to arrest me. Did I ever tell you the gospel is the gospel of building houses? Are you an architect? Now, please, do you follow my point? If you come and say, Lord, really, really, the house I'm staying in is a bit too small. I want a bigger one. That's a that's a very legitimate. You know, I preached a few Tuesdays ago on how to ask correctly or something like that. Yes, that's a very legitimate prayer point. But if you go and start making, because what happens is if you are really sincere, God will take you to a point and say, look, is that your request? It's based on jealousy. You think you are finer than Angela and your husband is taller than her husband. So you should have a better house and a better car. So all this prayer I've been praying is just because you want to outshine Angela in your church. So pray all you want, I'm not answering. That's what James said. Listen, if we can remove all these other motivations for our prayer points in our lives, we will discover the true will of God arising out of our souls spontaneously. If really these stupid motivations, we can remove them, we'll discover the true thing that we really want. And God always, always gives those things. But let me get back to maybe I'm saying. So there are disappointments. When we're preaching faith, like anything you don't ask God for, there are things that God will look at and say, oh boy, it's not good for you. Yes, sir. I love that car. I'm about to say, God said, can you buy the brain box?
The brain box of the motor you are harassing me for is 85,000 naira. What's wrong with you? And the way you drive, it will burn after 2 weeks. It's okay, wait. I will lend you one. Let Okada break the light in your presence. And after it's okay, right? You just say you have to buy. Okay, no, now you could drive the Okada. You break somebody's light of that very car. You now go and say, okay, how much is the light? So that is a special LED type, and it's 150,000, sir. Just 150,000. You go look your Okada, look the light. So Okada, look, moto na moto. Take my Okada, I dash it. I'm not taking. You give me my 150K. Well, listen, I'm bringing an issue. This is what I'm saying. Listen to me. Christianity is not a magic wand. We just wave magic wand, prosperity, just drop. Go, sir. It doesn't look. Listen, I know I'm going to tell you the truth. You know why I can tell you the truth? I didn't come here to gather so I can drill you for your money. So, yes, it's true. The real people who can't tell the truth is because when you finish preaching like this, you won't give the offering you wanted to give before. Say, hey, you're sure you can't multiply it? Let me go to where they will multiply it now. I'll tell you the truth. It is not a very nice truth. But even though God wants to make you a trillionaire, He can make you end so small that every meal is with proper thanksgiving. You know, there's thanksgiving that's normal. Father, I will just thank you for this food. But there's one in which, God, that was close. I almost left without this food. Thank you. You know, that kind of thanksgiving. That is even God will say, I hear, eat. I hear. And I'll tell you the reasons. We'll get there in a moment. Why he does those things. But because you can go and see Deuteronomy chapter 8. God said, I made you hungry. Not the devil. I made you hungry. When you were very hungry, then I fed you with manna. That's what I'm preaching today. In Christianity, there will be disappointments. One of my chiefs those days, I knew it was good for him. This guy was so good, you know. Very good in my profession, my specialty. Very, very good. Good guy like this. When he was going for an exam, his finals, he was so sure he would pass. He was damn too sure he would pass. But not the kind of assuredness that you get from faith, but from, I know I can do it. He failed so badly, he didn't recognize himself. One of my colleagues and I looked and said, I think it's very good for our chief. He said, it's very good for him. Very good for him. The next exam, when he went to the exam again, the other colleague of mine, a lady, asked, oh God, how's reading going? He said, I'm not reading again, John. She said, why not? He said, you know, the last one, I read everything there is to read. What happened? I feel so, there's no point reading. Let me just pray and just go and do the exam. I'm telling you, this man, he went with humility. And of course, he actually was good. The Lord had given him the wisdom. What am I saying? Moses said, God speaking to him, I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. Why? So that I will know what's in your heart. So that I can test and prove you. So that you will come to understand that man does not get success by his ability to answer questions alone, but by every word, every mercy, every grace that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how men succeed. He said, until you get that point, I won't let you pass. Let me say something to you. Let me so I can close. One. Somebody told you that if you give your life to Christ, all your troubles are over. It's a lie. A set of troubles are over. A new set has begun. The one that the devil was giving you has ended. The one that God gives people, you have inherited it. Many people give their lives to Christ, they become broke. Novel Hayes answered the call of God for his life. His wife packed a bag and walked out. They never quarreled before that day. And she never came back. If you didn't want to hear this, you shouldn't have come here. Say you have come. Go hear them. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I will talk about why later. If you have been here talking about, Job, you will have learned some of it, all right? But this is what I want to get first, number one. That day happened. There was one guy, he gave his life to Christ about the same time as Chris Okoti. I think he's his friend. One day I read in the newspaper, and I don't know whether the reporter quoted him correctly or he lied about what he said. But he said that Jesus ruined my life. I said, you should know that he does that often. He ruins people's lives. If your name is Moses and you are living in the palace of iniquity, he'll ruin your life. Yes, I know. Jesus, he is an expert at that one. He knows. Now, listen. Moses was living well until he answered the call. That was the end of it. He became a shepherd. That's what I'm talking about. He said, Jesus, not let me practice law. It's usual. Come, you were a fisher of fish. Now you'll be a fisher of men. He can do that. And he does it often. What am I explaining? Christianity often brings troubles. In fact, Jesus said straight, in this world you will have tribulations. But what is the end of the message? He said, but be of good what? Cheer. Because this is my message, the main message. The first thing that faith does for you is that it gives you rest even in the midst of the tribulations. And God forbids you to complain and grumble. If you have troubles, God forbids that you should grumble and complain in the midst of those troubles. He said, when they do, I am displeased and I swear in my wrath, they shall never enter into my rest. Listen to this. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, some were suffering. Not all of them were slaves. Not all of them were slaves. Some used to go to the palace regularly. Yeah. Even the slaves, according to their own testimony, they had cucumbers to eat, garlic, onions. And that's to tell you that we eat normal food. We just add those ones on top of it. Now, listen to what I want to say. When God began to liberate them, the first place they entered after they crossed the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, the first thing they experienced was utter dryness. No water. Now, I told that Jesus ruins lives. Alright? He just ruined their lives. What did he do? They called Moses and said, come here. Did you not say it was deliverance we're dealing with? What do you call this? The Bible says they gathered stones and they wanted to stone Moses. Why? You understand their mindset. When Egypt, we said we were slaves. You said you came to give us deliverance. The little we had, even as slaves, you took it. You understand the problem? And let me preach to you again. This is what faith is. This is what Christianity often brings to you. You thought that from now, you've heard the messages, you suddenly leap up to a high level. The first thing God does is to take you further down, lower than where you were before. And then you get confused. That's my message to you today. I said a number of words we should hold in those, the one we're reading in Hebrews chapter 3, is the word hope. Let me explain. Were they going for a promised land? Yes, they were. Did that land really flow with milk and honey? Yes. The land was flowing indeed with milk and with honey. But before they would get into that land, they will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen to me. Before you increase in life, you will see the valley of the shadow of death. What am I preaching? The faith, the rest. How a Christian would be at rest, knowing that no matter what I am going through, Indeed, I am on my way to the promised land. This is the interesting part. If you handle the valley of the shadow of death wrongly, if you handle the wilderness wrongly, you die there. And your life becomes a testimony of why we should not follow God. He was doing well. Until he said he gave his life to Christ. After that, now down. Then one day, he just died. Hey! Let me tell you, it's such a bad situation that Moses had to beg God at the time. God said, let me do what I normally do under these circumstances. Moses said, please excuse me, this is embarrassment. You know Egyptians. It's me they was not insulting now that Moses came here. You know, it's me they know, they don't know you. You know what I'm saying? You can say, God, did they see God? It was Moses they saw. Then Moses came here, said he was taking them out in deliverance. He now went and killed all of them. He lost his way. You know, stories will start changing. See, what happened was that it was thirst that killed them. Hunger. We said they should be here digging as slaves. Yet, they decided they are going to the wilderness. What happened? I didn't know they are dead. Listen. Don't think that God was just doing them up. Say, I will kill you. And then you're not relaxed. Not lie. No be them up. He was really going to kill somebody. Moses had to beg. Say, please. I beg. Please. Because what God would have done normally is, he's taking you out of Egypt into the promised land, into a land that flows with milk and with honey. You will have, listen to me, bad experiences on the way. There will be disappointments. There will be things you believe God for, and they just won't show up. He said, if you stand, the fire will not burn you. The fire will have raised your knee before the angel says, sorry, you go pour the water. He said, where were you? Are you not the same angel they sent to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where have you been all this while? I don't enjoy now, you can't appear. He said, sorry, it was the prince of Persia. This is how one is. Now, this is what God said you must never do. You must never whine. You must never complain. As soon as I come out of the fire, I said, Lord, I thank you. Now, why? That was painful. But we thank you. It was only the knee it reached. At least the rest of the body is still there. We worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it's very good. This one will get to the promised land. Yeah, look, listen. Christianity is interesting. It's interesting. But this is the point. Listen, let me end my message. We'll continue this next time, all right? My time is gone. This is the point. We have a hope. What did I say? We have a hope. God said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future, I like King James here, and an expected end. My Bible said a future and a hope. I'm preaching on how we handle the transitory period between when we leave Egypt and we enter into the promised land. That's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching how our minds will be at peace and at rest even though we have troubles. Sorry, I have to go to this side again. Just to illustrate, all right? You heard me, all right? And you've seen it also around. We have a problem in ministry today. God is helping us, amen? And this problem of money. Do you know what I'm saying? Money. That is when I say money now. Either we don't have enough, or we want more than the one that we have. It's one of the two. There's legitimate we don't have. There's illegitimate we don't have. You know what I mean? They give you 1 million, you want two. They give you two, you want three. They give you five. They say, why not just give us 20? You know that kind of thing. All right? Uh-huh. But this is the interesting part. This is what I'm going to. I've talked to preachers. And indeed, now I want to use as an illustration. Why men backslide. Backslide from the... When I say backslider, they don't deny Christ Jesus entirely, but they deny the things that they know to be true. It's usually because of pressure. And I'll teach some practical tips as we go on. And one of those practical tips that a point must come in your life where you don't care. You hear what I said? Where we don't, you don't what? You don't care. Listen, let me just tell you the kind of person that God has made me to be. Way of Success, sorry, now it's Truth and Truth on radio. It blesses people, all right? Way of Success was blessing people a lot. Our program on TV, I know it blesses people. There are people who are looking forward to it every day. If we owe money 2 months consecutively and we can't pay, believe me, I shut them down. So by the multitude that are not hearing, that's their problem. Did they send me petition before I went on air? No. If we can't continue, what do we do? We will just simply announce, brethren, for reasons beyond our control, this broadcast shall be discontinued end of this month. And meanwhile, please take this address down, www.kwm.com.ng. That doesn't cost much money. We'll endeavor to always keep materials there. God bless you. We'll see you if the Lord pleases another time. I shut down. But God forbid that we hold this microphone and say, the Lord said I should take that 55 people out there with the $5,000 offering that's about to break the back of their poverty. Right now, you will. No, I'm not going to do it. God wants me to do it. He should show up and come and stand beside me. Say, I go talk small, you go talk the microphone. I'm telling you. You get some kindness here. Yeah. Now, I'm coming to something new. It's not always that simple. There are times in which you can't, even if you wanted to shut down, like if you're an American, you have entered a contract. Yes, there are times. So this is what point I'm making. That's what I'm talking about, wilderness. There are times you sit down there. So I've talked to preachers. Some of them will tell you, it's a Pastor Banky. My God. Sometimes there's temptation. Chibimi is radio and television. She? What if it is a church? You know what they call church? Hey, this one, if you don't come here, what are you going to do? Hey, you just come here. Me, the door don't close. You go to your church on Sunday. No, so. But let's assume that I've now gathered everybody. We are 1,000. And we are meeting in a place where they say that it will never be. Although, this is banking for you, Sha. This is banking for you. Lock the door. I will also announce, please, brethren, services are suspended until further notice. Is it not that campus where I be? There are times in which people say you must not love your life unto death. There are times you just look and say, it's the work of God. If you can't sustain, that's his problem. Just leave it there. You do the things that are real and that are necessary. But I'm saying that what happens a lot of times, that's a point of pressure for a number of my friends, pastors have said it. Now, boy, there are times you just have to deliberately resist the temptation. Now, people fall for those pressures. All right? I'm just as an example. Some of my friends have told me that, listen, Banky, that sometimes this is as if the temptation is strong to start wanting to, or I put pressure on people. And you see, for them, and you, if you listen to them, not for, you agree with them, for legitimate reasons. I mean, I'm not trying to steal. Now, guys, you know what we are doing with this. But I'll get to the practical tips of some of these things later. All right? I'll get to practical things. But those are the very times that the Bible says your soul must not draw back. Those are the times that men actually step into their permanent rest. Those are the times that you actually get ready, that God will say, now you are ready for the promised land. My pastor in Lagos there said that, look, the day he entered into rest was when he made up his mind under such a condition that, God, I will never beg anybody for money. Since that time till now, all he has been doing is spending more. And people have been falling over themselves to give money towards the work of the ministry. What am I saying? Though we have pressures, and you get my point? Don't forget, this is Christianity. It is not about the lack of money. It is about our minds, our spirits. How do we respond? Actually, God is testing something. Did you hear what I said? Let me read this one. I close with it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. What have I said today? There will be testing periods. And what I'm preaching is how to be the same no matter what the circumstance of your life is. I am not going to preach to you that, don't worry. Just declare it and it just be like that. There are times you declare it and the angel is having transportation problems. 21 days What I'm preaching to you is that what do you do in those 21 days? That's what I'm preaching. There are times you are so sure that you are so close to the Lord. He used to come here to eat. And you know the Lord behaves funny. He knows how to ruin people's lives. You know I told you that before. Then when he hears that you are sick, that is the day he decides to go and attend the World Cup. They said, what happened? They said, Lazarus is sick. He said, let's finish watching the South Korea versus somebody match. Uh-huh. He said, let's see who qualifies in Group F. Okay, tell them we are coming. The match is still going on. The Bible said when he heard he was sick, he now decided to stay there 2 extra days. If he had not been sick, probably would have gone on time. When that happened, Lazarus is sick. He said, let's first round finish. Then we'll go. It's easy now because we are in the story of Jesus Christ. Imagine that you are Mary, Martha, and the sick Bobo Lazarus. No, it's very easy now because we are reading from the side of Jesus. Who knew what would happen? You know, you know, they never told you the story of what was going on in those 4 days when the temperature was rising. Before it began to come down and kept going down, down, down. It became so cold, they buried the man. The only indication we have of what happened was the moment he arrived, they said, Abba, if only you, and that's why it's more painful. If you knew if he had come, he would still have died. It's not very painful. If only you had been around, Lazarus would not have died. That's what I'm preaching. What do you do when you have sent a message to the Jesus as your friend and you now hear that he's watching the match, that when they finish, he'll start coming? As a matter of fact, all right, it will happen in life. You will send for the Lord and he will delay 2 extra days, and in that process, Lazarus will die. The question is, how do you handle the situation? I won't lie to you that it will never happen. No, I will not lie to you that it will never happen. Because one day in your life, it will happen. Yes, it will. I don't know how it's going to happen. It happens different ways to different people. And what I started preaching is to let you know that God allows those things to happen so that you will not have to suffer like Job. You know, we discussed that if you have been around on our Tuesday meetings. So that you won't have to suffer like Job. Because if you don't respond properly, you will suffer like Job. But if you respond properly, God will say he has put his feet on the path of Job. Therefore, release him. Let him step into the double breakthrough. Let him step into double abundance. But that's only if you handle the time of the wilderness properly. The children of Israel did not have to spend 40 days in the wilderness. I'll read the scripture next time. But I wanted to read. Because my time is gone. They did not have to spend 40 years, in the wilderness. They were supposed to still pass through the wilderness. It would have lasted just a few days. But the first trial they had, what did they do? They turned to Moses. We're enjoying better where we're coming from. And God said, they grieved him. And I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Let me stop here. Next time I'll continue talking about that, on why he does it. Like I was going to read just now, he said, I need to purify your heart. I've said that again and again. How long will it take? I don't know. But one thing we must all learn is how to respond while God is taking time. That's what I'm talking about, the faith rest of the believer. There's this kind of rest of mind that you must have in Christ Jesus. That everybody seems to be making progress, but not you. You will still rejoice with them. Because it's a commandment, rejoice with them that rejoice. But don't ever forget this. It is because we know there is a hope. What did I say? There is a hope. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you notice the word, though I pass through? Not though I build a tabernacle in the valley of the shadow of death. Not though I lay my foundation there and build a skyscraper in the valley of the shadow of death. No. I am passing through. Anything you are passing through means there is an end to it. There is an end to it. There is an end to it. You will come out on the other end. But what I want to introduce to you is that you will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And whether you come out or not is dependent upon how you handle what is going on in the center of the valley of the shadow of death. Don't forget, if you don't have this message, go and get a copy and listen to it. The Spirit of Thanksgiving. When I talked about Jonah. For those of you who do not know, Jonah did not pray that his prayer in the belly of the fish. He prayed the prayer when he was sinking, when he was about to drown. And then God now liberated him stage one. Stage one, God liberated him into the belly of the fish. And he learned to give thanks. If he did not give thanks, the whale will have digested the guy. Next time the whale will just belch. Ah, it's the skull of a human being that will drop. That's Jonah's skull. But Jonah handled it properly. Then God commanded the fish. And they went to the shore. And they had indigestion. And then threw the total whole man onto the shore. That was because he handled it properly. Many people have been digested. I've been saying this thing, no. I hope you are not being digested. You know, if you are a grumbler, you have been digested. But your skin will regenerate in Jesus' name. When you come to God with repentance. I hope you learned something today. Have you learned anything today? If that's the case, let's just bring back our heads and begin to give the Lord.